This tape is classified secret.
This is Marine Interviewer Staff Sergeant John T. McDaniel, stationed at the Joint Informational Services Office, Camp Pendleton, California. Today for interview we have Marine Gunnery Sergeant Roy A. Allen, service number 1266927, assigned to 1st Service Battalion, 5th Marine Division, Camp Pendleton, California. Gunnery Sergeant Allen was in Vietnam from July 24, 1967 to May 6, 1968, was with H&S Company, 1st Battalion, 13th Marines, 3rd Marine Division. Gunnery Sergeant Allen, tell us about your experiences when you were in Vietnam.
I joined the 1st Battalion, 13th Marines on April 19, 1967. We spent 3 months in Okinawa, and there went to Qua Vet, Vietnam. We offloaded Qua Vet on the 26th of July, and half the battalion in the afternoon, or half the battalion spent that afternoon and that night at Qua Vet. The other half of the battalion made it to Dong Ha, up the river. One of the best things that happened to my battalion was that first night we got hit, both at the beach at Qua Vet and also at Dong Ha. We received incoming rounds. We didn't take any casualties. It was only one gun firing three rounds. And this helped the battalion. We had quite a few new guys in it, never seen combat or anything, so this helped them get off on a good start. There we went up Route 9 to Quezon. It was one of the best maneuvers I believe I've seen in the Marine Corps yet. The movement from Dong Ha to Quezon up Route 9. It's real good ambush territory, and as we moved from one TAOR to the other, the commanding officer of that TAOR was responsible for the security of the convoy. We had air cover and everything else. If we had been hit, I think Charlie would have had the worst problem of it, but it was uneventful. Nothing happened. We got to Quezon, and we started digging in as soon as we got there. We had 6 months of little or nothing happening, small probes on the line, and some of our patrols were hit very lightly, not heavy contact or anything. And most of this time, we were doing nothing but digging in. During this 6 months, with nothing going on too much, I was battery gunny sergeant for 3 months for H&S Company. And in this last 3 months of it, I was logistics chief in the S4 section. During this time, nothing was going on. It's my belief, I'm not sure, but I believe during this time, the NVA were probably bringing all their supplies down to North Vietnam, into Laos, down Ho Chi Minh Trail, and over around Quezon, storing it up for when they did hit Quezon later. They must have had quite a supply problem there. They were dumping rounds in anywhere from 300 to 1,300 rounds a day in on Quezon itself. They had 40,000 to 60,000 troops supposedly around Quezon. I can imagine their supply problem they had. Well, in January the 19th, I believe it was, when we really started taking our incoming, things got pretty bad. Someone must have got the word a few days in advance that we were going to get hit pretty hard, because all of a sudden we started getting materials to build bunkers with. We got everyone on the ground. We took quite a few rounds in each day there. They didn't do as much damage as what they should have. You have to take just about a direct hit on the bunker in order to do any damage to the personnel.
Excuse me, Gunny, this was January 68?
Yes, January 68. About the middle of January, I think it was the 19th, was the first day we got hit. The day before we got hit, on the 18th, they split our ammo dump. We had all of our ammo in one area. They split the ammo dump, which was lucky because the first incoming got the ammo dump. Blew the thing sky high. Ended up, they hit the ammo dump twice, I believe it was. If they had jumped off on that attack approximately 3 months earlier, they would have caught us with our airstrip was out. The only thing that could come in was CH-53s. We had no way of getting ammo up there. We only had one battalion of infantry there at the time. We were real short-handed. So if he'd had his knowledge or his gear down there to hit us earlier, he could have probably taken Quezon. As it was, we had pretty well ready for him when he came.
At this time, Quezon was completely surrounded?
Yes, it was. At this time also, I changed from a job as S4 logistics chief to FO. I was attached to 26 Marines. I was on Hill 950 most of the time. We had On 950, we didn't take too much big stuff, the 120s and 105 rounds. We didn't get into that. But we were getting hit with 82 mortars and 60 dynamites, and quite a few small arms. We had an LZ that was approximately 10 yards circle there where the choppers could land. They had to bring all of our child ammo, rations, our medevacs, and everything had to go across it. The terrain around us was real dense jungle, and they had 50s set up. Every time we could get a chopper in, the 50s would cut loose, and they did quite a bit of damage on the choppers. We had our LZs pretty well zeroed in. We had three hilltops, 881, 861, and 950, and in caisson itself. They had all the LZs zeroed in real good. So anytime you went near an LZ or you had to get on an LZ to go from one hilltop to another or something, you were just about running through all kinds of stuff.
Approximately how many planes did the NVA soldiers shoot down at caisson during this time?
Well, they had two jets and was on, were making strikes. I saw them hit those in the air. Then on the landing strip down in caisson itself, there were four. They were either C-130s, 123s, or 120s. They got those, mostly on takeoff and landing. Our airstrip extended out beyond the barbed wire, so when the planes come in, they'd have to come in and they could only use about half the runway. They'd draw quite a bit of sniper fire. I got at least four of the big planes, and helicopters, I lost count on them. They were just all over the place.
At this time, 1st Battalion, 26 Marines had the perimeter caisson?
Yes, they also had Hill 950, 881, and 861. They were spread pretty thin.
What was the condition of the people, Marines run patrols out around the war at this time? Or?
No, there were no patrols going out at all at this time. We started really getting hit. This was something that had me kind of amazed. We were held back inside the wire in more or less a defensive position, and there were no patrols whatsoever going. The NVA had their trenches within 50 meters of our wire. You could stand and see them. And on 950 there, they had bunkers approximately 100 meters off our wire. We were living in close. Approximately midway through the siege of caisson, we started running patrols then. We had 1st Battalion 9th Marines, 1st Battalion 26th Marines, 3rd Battalion 26th Marines. The battalions then started making patrols, short patrols around the wire. They didn't get too far out in the wire, though. During the siege of caisson there, when we were taking in most of our incoming, you could hear the pop. We had pretty good direction on where the rounds were coming from. You'd hear the pop about 6 seconds before the round got there. Usually had plenty of time to jump down a hole or something. Our B-52s were making almost continuous strikes around caisson itself between caisson and the NVA. And they were really on top of the mortar sites and rocket sites as soon as they would get a reading of the counter-mortar radar there. We were firing quite a few rounds out. Within, I believe it was 60 seconds from the time a round left a mortar tube, our counter-radar would have a reading on it. We could start putting rounds on it. Artillery, this is the first time I was ever with an artillery outfit, and these guys on the gun crew, I really learned to respect them, the 08 dum-dums, as we call them. All they do is throw around in a chamber and yank a lanyard. Well, during our heavy incoming, when myself and just about everybody else was down in a hole trying to get deeper, these gun crews were out on these guns firing counter-mortar plans. They had at least three gun crews that I know of took direct hits, and it just didn't seem to faze them. These young kids just get right out there in it and start firing back. I really admired them getting out there in it like that. One of the big problems there at caisson was getting the medevacs out across the LZ. As I said, they had them pretty well zeroed in. And you start running out with medevacs and so forth. Anytime a chopper came down, you started dragging in 60s and 82 mics and 120s. Litter bearers had to run through all this. We lost quite a few right there on the LZ just trying to get the wounded and KIAs up. On 950 there, we went, now looking back, it was pretty comical. We went 7 days one time with no water whatsoever. We ran out of water. We had to resupply some water cans. We ran out of water, and due to the fog and the sniper fire, they couldn't get anything into us, ammo or food or anything. We had plenty of everything except water. We had to put up ponchos and anything we could put up to catch fog. I was able to catch in one poncho, you'd catch a half a can of seawater, sea ration, full of water a day, and half a can a night. So for 7 days, that's what we went on.
How did this affect the fighting ability of U.S. Marines?
I don't think it bothered them at all. If anything, it made them mad. The way they resupplied our hill there, these chopper pods, they would put an airstrike all the way around us, the fighter jets and the Hueys, and then after they hit the sides of the hills and everything, the terrain around us real good, and then lay down a smoke screen all the way around the hill, and the chopper pilots could dash down and drop their load, external loads, and move back out again and pick up any WIAs or KIAs we had. When it hit this LZ, 50 caliber sniper rounds, even with a smoke screen laid down and start raking the hilltop, there'd be hitting the choppers, magnesium would be flying in all directions where these 50 caliber were hitting them. These guys had a lot of guts to come in the middle of it. One thing that kind of dropped the morale there a little bit was Longview, which was Special Forces Camp, was 7 miles south of us. We made quite a few trips over there, and it was run by the Army. And Quezon was going real good there, they got overran. Charlie came up with 7 tanks and it's almost a regiment of troops and rolled right over their wire. Well, Longview itself was a real good camp. They had underground concrete bunkers and we didn't think they could take it. Well, they did take it and we knocked out 4 of their tanks right there with artillery and air, and 3 of them got away. Later, there were 21 tanks spotted. They were supposedly moving toward Quezon, though they never got there. But the losing Longview there was on kind of a morale factor for a little bit. It was a shock that they could take Longview. And we were hearing on the radio where President Johnson wanted to know if Quezon could hold and all this kind of stuff. But we were sitting there kind of wondering if they were right, whether we could hold it. But we were so far away from Dong Ha or any place where they'd get into us by truck. The only way they'd get in was by air. And the way Charlie was knocking down planes and stuff like this, we began to have our doubts for a while.
How did the NVA get tanks and stuff close enough to overrun this outpost?
Well, Longview is sitting right on the border, the Laotian border, the Vietnam border. And Co Rock, which is a mountain there, he had guns up on Co Rock that were hitting artillery guns. It was hitting Longview and Quezon. We couldn't knock them out. Our B-52s were hitting them. We were calling in strikes on them, firing artillery. We couldn't hit them. But they came right through Laos, and as I said, Longview is sitting right on the border. They just walked across, and there they were. That terrain is so thick there, it's jungle, that run a patrol from 950 over to 1050 that we ran there, just to walk it without worrying about an ambush or anything, would take approximately 2.5 hours, and it's only 1,000 meters away. And then when you have to worry about an ambush and move tactical and everything, it's about a 5-hour trip. And you could walk right by a full battalion, walk right through the middle of them. And if they didn't want you to see them, you wouldn't see them. You just barely just keep up with a man in front of you, and that was it.
These were Russian-made tanks?
Yes, they were.
And they ran right up in the wire, the perimeter, with these tanks?
They came right over the wire, rolled right up over and right through the camp of Longview. One tank was parked right on top of their COC bunker. Well, they ended up, they knocked that one out, the one that was set on top of COC bunker. The Army, I'm not sure how many of them they got out, but they were talking to them by radio, and one of the Army guys come up and says, there's a tank sitting right on top of us now, on top of COC bunker.
How far around the wire was the perimeter cleared on this position?
Approximately 2,000 meters. They had a good field of fire. They had 106 recoilless rifles, 50 caliber machine guns, and small arms. Also, they had their mortar pits. They had 81 millimeter mortars and 60 millimeter mortars. They had concrete pits with concrete ammo bunkers on each side. Their living quarters were all concrete and underground. They had good firing apertures. And had a real good field of fire. I've seen the camp quite a few times. It's over there quite a bit. And I think one good company of Marines could help that hilltop, even against the regiment and their tanks.
What was the approximate strength of this camp?
There were approximately 9 to 12 special forces, Army special forces, and approximately 175 to 225 Vietnamese troops.
What happened when the perimeter was overrun?
Well, the tanks were such a psychological effect on the troops that they broke and ran.
The Vietnamese troops ran, or the Special Forces?
The Vietnamese troops. These tanks were quite a... They'd never been used in Vietnam before. You look up and see that tank rolling across a wire, I guess it's a little bit more than it would take. So they just broke and ran.
Was anything ever done about this situation?
How do you mean? Around Quezon itself, there were three villages. One of them was Quezon, the town of Quezon. When the incoming first hit Quezon, the NVA troops also went to the town of Quezon and Ho Chi Minh. They were killing the village chiefs and just about took over the bills. They did take over the bills. We flew out something like 6,000 mountain yards there from there. That rushed into the base and we got them on planes and got them out. They lost quite a few of them in the bills. I have no idea how many. There were quite a few civilians killed in the bills there.
This was the NVA killing the civilians?
Yes, it was. The bills, after they were evacuated, were completely blown away with artillery. Ho Chi Minh especially, it turned out it was a stronghold for the NVA. They moved up and took over that hilltop. Our B-52s and our artillery hit it pretty good. And due to binoculars, you can see there wasn't anything left of the village. And the whole terrain around Quezon there was so bomb-marked with B-52 strikes and artillery strikes, you wouldn't even recognize the landscape from what it was before. There was one thing about it that I didn't like, and got some of the other people up there too. Supposedly, according to the radio, President Johnson, everyone else making speeches, that the siege of Quezon was over. The army had come in and it relieved us. Well, we were sitting in bunkers taking 250 and 300 rounds in a day, hearing this on the radio that it was all secure, nothing else was going on. We're still taking casualties and everything else. We were relieved by the 12th Marines. And 1st Battalion, 13th Marines went to Quang Tri. Well, I stayed at Quezon a little bit longer with our vehicles to try to get them out, airlifted out. Some of our vehicles had been damaged and so forth. And they were still taking, I left there on 4 May, they were still taking 82 and 60 Mi-Mac rounds in. There was no 140s coming in then. But supposedly Quezon was secure. And here we're still taking rounds in. And now, after I came back to the States, I understand they pulled out of Quezon and blew all the bunkers up and all this stuff. This I can't understand. After the price it cost us to hold Quezon, they just turn around and give it to the NVA. Quezon was a blocking force from troops moving in from Laos. Now you pull Quezon out and the next camp to the east of Quezon would be Camp Evans. So now Camp Evans is going to have to be the blocking force from troops coming in from Laos. I can't see where we gained anything at. It's a mystery to me. And I read in the papers and hear on the radios about actions along the DMZ, and they give a hilltop number and stuff like this, where I believe it was 3-4 got hit on Hill 689. Hill 689 is about 1,000 meters away from Quezon. They won't come right out and say Quezon is still going on, and our troops are supposed to be mobile up there now, or losing 27 Marines in one battle and stuff like this. They give a hilltop number and the western end of the DMZ, they say. Well, I can look on a map and remember the hilltops I was on there. These hilltops are ringing Quezon still. So, I don't understand their logic. They gave up Quezon, and there's action still going there, but yet they won't say it on the radio.
At this time, you say you left Quezon sometime in May the 4th. What was sanitary conditions? Was there any rats there or anything?
Yes, there were. We had quite a few rats. The NVA, as I said, were about 50 meters off our wire, and our B-52s and artillery wiped out quite a few of them. There was dead bodies laying on there. Well, the rats were feeding on these dead bodies, and one time they were worried about a plague of some kind, I'm not sure what kind, breaking out because of this. We had guys that were getting bit by the rats. There's nothing you can do except sleep in the bunker, and one of them crawls across you, what he crawls across you. We tried killing them, setting traps and stuff like this. There's just so many of them, there's nothing you can do about it. Up on 950 there, when we went to 7 days without water, we had one KIA. That was it we had up there for 7 days. one of the big problems with the KIA was keeping the rats from eating him. We wrapped him in two poncho liners, and put him in a bunny hole to keep him cool. By the time we got him out, he was mildew, but at least the rats didn't get to him. The camp itself, as far as the way it looked when I left there on May the 4th, there were blown up vehicles all over the place. Quite a few of the bunkers were blown. There was the plane sitting along the LZ. A few helicopter parts laying all over the place. The base was actually a mess when I left, but we didn't take as many casualties as it would sound like, taking in all those rounds. I believe when I left there, 1,300 rounds we took in one day, that was a record for South Vietnam, any base taken at many. That's good.
How was resupply? Did the troops have plenty of chow and watery juices?
Well, resupply, the main thing they were interested in getting in was blood and ammo, but we did have plenty of sea rations. That's all it was, to eat the sea rations. We had plenty of those. We got down to the bottom of the pile up on 950. Some of the sea rations had probably been there for years. And you'd open the can up, it'd be swelled up, and you'd open it up, ham and lima beans, and it'd be rotten. Well, you'd throw it away and get something else. But we had plenty of food. Another thing I wondered about, I can see the reason for it, but it wasn't too popular. During the 6 months that we didn't have anything going on at Quezon there, if you had a target to shoot at, say 3 NVA in the open, we did have them in the open every now and then. At 3 NVA in the open, you call for an artillery mission on them, they would give you 3 rounds. This is counting your spotter rounds and your fire for effect. If you didn't get to 3 NVA with those 3 rounds, that was it. Sorry. If you had 15 NVA, then you get 5 rounds. If you had 30 NVA, you could get 10 rounds or more. But when you're shooting artillery and you're on patrol or something, it takes more than 3 rounds to get in on a target. You can't get them. And I think, personally, myself, 3 NVA is worth at least 10 rounds. Another thing was when we'd call for an artillery mission, when things were heavy there, we'd have NVA in the open, we'd call for an artillery mission. And by the time the mission got cleared through all the air and everyone else, you could expect to get the rounds out there in 30 minutes, something like that. If you get a company moving, of NVA moving in the open, moving across an open place, you call in a grid, you know the grid is perfect, you know the terrain real well, and you got to wait 30 minutes to get a mission on it, by that time they're so far gone that you didn't get them. It was sickening when you call for artillery and couldn't get it. One time on 881, I wasn't the FO to call for it, but they had NVA in the wire, and they called for their X-ray Delta defensive fires to be fired. And I timed it, and it took 23 minutes before they got their first round out there. This was at night. There was no air flying over. There were none of our troops moving around. And I can see no reason why it would take 23 minutes to get a defensive fires out there when they have NVA in the wire.
Did the NVA penetrate the wire?
Yes, they did. They had, I'm not sure how many bodies. I believe it was 6 NVA bodies left in the wire that they got. One of them was over 6 foot tall. They preserved him, flew him back down to Da Nang, I understand, to find out what nationality he was. I've never seen an NVA that big. I guess no one else has either.
Did they ever determine what his nationality was?
Not to my knowledge. We didn't hear any more about it. Just that he was preserved and they flew him out on a chopper. On our tactics we used there, I think, personally, we had 4 battalions there. We held 881, 861, 950, and Quezon, the hilltops. The rest of the terrain was turned over to Charlie by the NVA. The only thing he had to worry about was our air and our AO. I think it would have been better if we had at least 1 battalion running short local patrols just around the base itself. Then he wouldn't have been able to move in as close to our wire as he did. He had complete free movement in all the terrain around us there. This was later when we did start running our patrols and stuff. He was cut down. The Army come in, they set up, took over a couple other hilltops, started running local patrols also. And this pushed him back, and it relieved Quezon quite a bit. Just pushed him back. We were still getting the 60 Mike mics and the 82s, but nothing like what we were before.
Thank you, Gunny Sergeant Allen. This is Marine Interviewer Staff Sergeant John T. McDaniel from the Joint Informational Services Office, Camp Pendleton, California. This interview complies with Marine Corps Order 5750.38.